Just remember not to kick that over. With trouble at Mill, won't there? Trouble at Mill. Seems ages since I've been up here, to preach. So I don't know if that's a good thing or what, but we'll see, shall we? Bunch of water. We ain't got any bottles, so we need to get some sorted, don't we? But thanks, Danny, for that. It's great just to be led into the Lord. And I'm kind of going to do an introduction tonight to something that we've already started. So Nigel's been speaking in the last couple of times. He spoke about wisdom and folly, and he's going to do another piece. Ruth's brought some of her stuff, and we've had different stuff. Malcolm brought last week about keeping our focus on Jesus. But at the beginning of the year, I did suggest that you look at doing Proverbs, reading through Proverbs. So I'm just going to do a bit of an introduction to Proverbs and maybe bring some stuff out that will help you in reading Proverbs, because Proverbs is one of those interesting books that it was written by Solomon. And Solomon was, it said, the wisest person that ever lived. Well, he was the wisest person at one point, but he kind of got his eyes off the ball because he married too many women, had too many horses and too much gold. Now, some people think you can't have enough of those three, but he was the wisest person and it ruined his life. So the book of Proverbs, I suggested we read it. But I also said that if you can read the book of Proverbs without getting a slap, then you're not reading the book of Proverbs. Because if anybody reads it, should always get something from that book especially. There's a great need in society for wisdom today. In everything that we look at, there's lots of different stuff. There's a distinct lack of wisdom in a load of things. And there's a thing called, what is it now, fake news. And it's everywhere. There's stuff coming through social media. People's got opinions. It's interesting, I was reading today that several people's got opinions on what the government's spending money on. And it's easy for us to make an opinion on something when we don't know the bigger picture. And we don't know why they're spending money in that certain place. The only difference is I know why we spend money in our house, but if you looked at our budget, you might say, well, I don't think you should spend money there, but Joe and I have worked out where we want spending money. We see the bigger picture, and sometimes people don't see the bigger picture. But it's interesting how many people think that they've got the wisdom and the authority to say something when they've got no wisdom in most situations and no authority. There's a lack of wisdom, and it's destroying lives of many young people, and it's actually destroying the lives of many older people. The young people do things without wisdom, and old people, it makes them look like fools because they're acting without wisdom. Well, lack of wisdom is destroying marriages, it destroys friendships, it actually causes people to turn their back on God, and it actually prevents people coming to God. Does a lack of wisdom, and actually causing them to go to hell. Having no wisdom is not a good thing. The Christian walk, or for us, is a life full of wisdom. We need to search out wisdom, discover wisdom, dig into the Bible and collect wisdom. In Ephesians 5:15, you're thinking, we're talking Proverbs here, but I'm just building something up. So in Ephesians 5, and chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days of evil are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Having wisdom in our lives will help us to understand what God's will is, and it will actually stop us doing foolish things, and yet it'll help us to act wisely. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, I've been in a few times, where there's somebody who calls themselves a Christian, who's confessing Christ, but you wish they'd not sat near you. Because if that's a Christian, they're making a mockery of it because of the foolishness. I'm not talking about enthusiasm. I'm talking about just downright foolishness. Many years ago, I was on a building site, and obviously you go into the cabin and they'd always laugh at me because I'd be sat there reading my Bible, surrounded by posters. And you often know what's on those posters. And I would just ignore them. I'd get on reading my Bible, and sometimes they'd make comments. That, you know, if I'd had cameras, they'd have been taking photographs of me because I'm sat there reading my Bible with lots of ladies around me. But one of my friends who said he were a Christian, they walked in one day to find him reading a newspaper that most Christians wouldn't have heard of. So called The Sport, I believe. And he was sat there reading it. So they laughed at him and took me. And he said, oh, it's okay, as long as I'm not fantasizing. And he was justifying the fact that he was looking at things he shouldn't have been looking at. And I'm sat there reading my Bible, and he sat there reading a newspaper, which was not a really good newspaper, full of fake. The only good thing about, or the only true thing about most newspapers, and you can quote me, is the date. Okay, most newspapers. But it was kind of a foolish thing, because he started digging an hole for himself. And the more he dug, the more they just let him. And I just kept quiet, reading my Bible. And as the weeks went on, many of the guys said, tell me about your God, they said to me. And he would interrupt and say, it's the same one. But one day, one of them said, no, what he's got must be real. What you've got is just pretense. Because of his lifestyle. Over weeks, had seen that. And there was a younger Christian with us, and he was just very enthusiastic and made some real big blunders, but his enthusiasm and his honesty shone through. He wasn't acting in foolishness, he was acting in being wise. We must make the best of our times. The days are too short to waste and to flit away. This week I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about how we don't think Paul wasted his time on Facebook. Facebook wouldn't have been around, but we think Paul was a guy that worked, preached, and slept. Jesus was a guy that basically ministered and slept. Sold out. And yet so many people go, you know, it's great that you're here, so I can't say anything to you guys. But there's many people who were like, who've just gone, you know what, I can't be bothered. I had no to do this morning. I was lost. It was like, you know what I mean? What do you do? Garden centre? You know what I mean? What do you do? I just can't cope. I can't cope. I'll walk here next time if you have to. I'll sit here on my own. You know what I mean? But I just couldn't cope. We all need wisdom. And the word of God equips everybody for good works. In 2 Timothy 3:16, an amazing part of the Bible, it says, all scripture, all the Bible is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, or the man of God in some other versions, may be thoroughly equipped for every good service. The Bible is a source of our wisdom. Everything in the Bible is there to help us and to train us and encourage us and build us and strengthen us. And that's a source of wisdom. You see, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what any other preacher says. If it's not in the Word of God, then really you should ignore it. It's interesting, I always tell you to check it out yourself. Many people don't say that. Say, you believe what I tell you. And that's it. No, I say check things out for yourself. Get your own wisdom, find it in the Bible. Sometimes we become so obsessed about what this preacher's doing or that Christian's doing. Instead of saying, Heavenly Father, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? And the revelation God will give you may be different. Now, not different in an opposite fact, but sometimes God might speak to Ian about something and then later on he might tell me about it. It don't mean Ian's right and I'm wrong. It just means at that time and that moment, God's dealing with different people at different levels. So it's not my job to tell Ian he needs to be thinking the way I'm thinking when God's telling him something different. Not opposite, by the way, just different. Okay, where are we on this? I better get back to mid things. It's only, the book of Proverbs is an amazing book to dig into, to get into. And I would encourage you to read a chapter of it every day. 30 chapters, you should be able to, that's once, you'll read through it in a month. And I'm not joking, the more I read it, the more I get slapped. It's nice to read the Gospels because they're easy going. It's history, it's about Jesus. But when you get into Proverbs, it's like a slap. I mean, if you want a touchy, feely, nice thing, go into Psalms, read a couple of Psalms, then go into Proverbs. Psalms will lighten you up a little, it'll make you feel nice. And then Proverbs just go, there you are. Grow up. In Romans 15, verse 4, it says this, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and through the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The reason we read everything in the Old Testament is so that we may have hope. But we can read from somebody who was very wise, who wrote things down for us and said, learn by them. In fact, there's some interesting scriptures when you get into it that tells us we need to listen. So, in Proverbs, we need to learn We can read and we can check things out. The book of Proverbs begins by identifying it was Solomon, the king of son of David, that wrote it. Now, some people argue about it, but no, Solomon did write it. And he were on a winner. But then you read some other bits of the Bible that he wrote, and you just think, mate, you've lost it. I mean, he got very depressed at one point. And we know that Solomon wrote it, but also we know why he wrote it. You know, Solomon was asked by God, what do you want? I mean, if God says to you, what would you like? What would you say? Solomon says, I need wisdom to govern the people you've given me. Now, why did he ask for that? Well, in Proverbs chapter 4, it says he's quoting his own dad, and his dad says to him, David says to him, above all else, mate, get wisdom. Above everything else, go after knowledge, go after wisdom. Don't go after gold, don't go after women, don't go after anything else, go after wisdom. And yet we, as people, in our society, it's all about going after this job, career, get some money, get a nice car, do this, do that. And yet the Bible says go after wisdom. Because if you go after wisdom, you'll get everything else. But if you go after something else, now, Jesus is actually wisdom in its purest form. Everything we need, when we look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we see wisdom. And everything, he is in us and is inside us, and if we actually listen, we'll be able to hear his voice. And actually, Solomon became very famous for his wisdom, and people traveled hundreds of miles to see him. Nobody's knocking on my door from 1,000 miles away to ask for my wisdom. I get the odd comment on Facebook from people around the country or around the world, but nobody's traveling many miles for my wisdom because I'm not as wise as he is. And actually, for us all, we can go to the Word of God. So if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll read a few verses there. So if you're in your book or your device or whatever else, it's always good, guys, to at least have something nearby, because if not, I could waffle on and say whatever I wanted. And if you can't check it out for yourself, then how do you know? That's why I'd never trust a PowerPoint, because they've been cut and pasted and could be altered. Always get your own Bible. So, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1 to 6, I'll read. It says, Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. And this is going to tell us now why he wrote the book. So see if there's anything in this that you go, yeah, I could learn something from that. It says, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words and insight, for receiving instructions in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, for sayings and riddles of the wise. Now, did that touch base with anybody? Are you any of those people in there that you think, you know what, I could learn something? The problem with learning is you've often got to put a bit of effort in. So Solomon wrote this, first of all, for 4 different types of people. Now, you've got to decide which person you are, and there's proverbs around that. Now, the first one nobody's going to admit to. And he says the first one is to give give wisdom to the simple, that they may live a life of prudence. I think it was Gordon Brown that used to go on about prudence all the time. Prudence, prudence, we need to be prudent in everything. If you don't know what that means, look it up, I have to. So simple is telling you how to live a prudent life. The young people, to get knowledge and discretion. The wise person, to increase in learning. And the man of understanding, to have wise counsel and to be able to give wise counsel. So what he's doing, he's saying everything that's written in Proverbs is to take you from a place of naivety, to help you learn and to grow, to become a wise person, but not only just a wise person, but somebody who can take that wisdom and pass it on to somebody else. Now, I don't know if you've ever been given a word of wisdom or some insight and then found out later on it were a totally waste of time. You don't really trust that person. But Solomon and many people since then have used the book of Proverbs to bring life to their own life and understanding. The book is designed to make people wiser, or the wise people wiser. So if you think you're really wise, then you'd be in the book, reading the book, wouldn't you? Because wise people would read the book of Proverbs. If you're not wise, then you need to read the book of Proverbs to get wiser. Have I hit everybody there? So no matter what, if you're simple, which none of you are, or if you're super wise, or anywhere in between, you need to be in the book of Proverbs. So you can learn to act wisely and righteously, that you'll be able to learn how to treat others fairly. It gives ignorance common sense, it gives young people sound advice, and it gives the wise even more wisdom. None of us are so wise that we don't need it, because we forget. But sometimes we actually have thought patterns that go against what the Bible says, but we think we're wise, because it's happened to me twice, therefore it's a doctrine. No, it's in the Bible. We need to do what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to correct somebody and tell somebody they're not doing something right? Or have you ever been told by somebody you're not doing something right? What is your response? Or what was their response? If you're doing something wrong and someone corrects you, what do you do? Well, let's put it down to brass tacks. You're driving down the road and your third conscience says you're speeding. It's usually your wife, your husband, a friend. You've got some left. What's your response? Well, let me read something from the Bible, and before you start working out what your response should be, let me read something. It says, this is Proverbs 9:7-9. It says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. So if you insult somebody, what does that mean you are? Okay. Whoever rebukes a wicked the wicked incurs abuse. Do you give abuse out? Oof. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and they will love you. So when somebody rebukes you, do you hate them or do you love them? What do you do? Do you love them or do you hate them? Or somewhere in between? Because let me read it again. Do not rebuke a mocker because he will hate you. So if you're a mocker and somebody rebukes you and your verbal spew comes out, or when they rebuke you, rebuke a wise man and they will love you. Instruct a wise man and they will be wiser still. Teach a righteous and they will add to their learning. You see, if somebody rebukes you, and by the way, sometimes it's 95% probably needed, then it's hard sometimes. And I'm not talking about if you're just having a go at you. If someone's having a go, ignore it. But if somebody who cares for you says, you know what, you should try this, or think about that, or that's not good. I lost a load of friends. No, I didn't lose friends. I had people that distanced themselves, because when God started using me in the prophetic, I used to go up to people and just ask them, how's your Bible reading going? Now, to me, that's not a really offensive question, is it? How's your Bible reading going? But people started backing away from me. I used to say, how's your prayer life? It wasn't like they were asking any really personal questions. And they backed away. And I couldn't understand what was going on. Because I realized that people don't want me asking, how's your Bible reading going on? And I once asked somebody, I said, how's your Bible reading going on? And don't say, I'm reading John. Because they always go, I'm reading John. John 3. But oh, everyone's reading John 3 whenever I ask them. It's like, oh, really? Not John 4, no John 3. Which bit? That God so loved the world bit. You know what I mean? Oh, that verse, yeah, I know that one, yeah. But if somebody corrects you and they mean it in love, and they really care for you, your response will determine not so much how you carry that rebuke, but it will show you what sort of person you are. Because if you spew out stuff in abuse, then the Bible says that that's from a wickedness or a mocker. But if you show love, and the best thing to do is either keep your mouth shut, but if you have to say something, just say thank you. Thank you. It's like when someone said, I think you're proud. You can't get around that one, can you? Because if you say, no, I'm not, you're proud. So you can't really get around that. So you're just going to say, yeah, thank you. I'll work on that one. So anyway, what's the value of the book? Well, wisdom comes from two sources. And we've all been in these two sources, so take your pick, whichever one it wants to go. First area of wisdom that we can learn is from what we call trial and error. personal experience. You see, somebody can tell you not to put your hand in electricity, but if you don't believe them and you put it in, you get electrocuted, you might learn. Or you might die. So learning from experience can often be one's own experience are certainly a source of wisdom. But the disadvantage of gaining wisdom this way is that it can take most of your life and waste a lot of time through trial and error learning a thing or two. And you often get to the end and think, I should have listened in the first place. Sadly, this is the only way that some people gain wisdom, and yet they live from the consequences of that. I can't understand when there's big signs saying, do not do something, and people do what it says you shouldn't do. But maybe it's because I'm a bit further on. You see, I learned at an early age to listen to what other people had to say, even if I disagreed with them, because I thought if they've been there a bit longer than I have, maybe they can learn, teach me a thing or two. Now, I'm not saying as a kid, I was quite rebellious. I was a kid at school who used to get three smacks from a teacher when we used to smack him, and I'd turn around and grin at him and go, and didn't hurt, which meant I got another 9, you know, from 3 teachers this time. Because I was rebellious, I had a real rebellious nature, and something still inside me is there, rebels against religion, I rebel against media. I can't cope with the fact that I'm knocking on a little bit now, to some of you. I'm young, to some I'm old, but I'm rebelling against it. I need a midlife crisis. I need to either get a motorbike, a quad, a speedboat, or do something really wild. The only reason I go climbing is because I'm rebelling against society, because nobody at my age usually goes climbing, because it's dangerous. And we're all wise when we get to my age, normally. But trial and error is not a good way to learn. But a second way of learning is through counsel from others who's got a proven experience and they've got a proven track record. Now, they're usually the boring people, the safe people. They're the ones who's got a job of health and safety. But actually, we do need a bit of health and safety. We also need a little bit of life. So, good thing about wisdom, if somebody's got to 90, they've usually got some good things. I used to love Jim. I mean, he used to waffle on about all sorts. But he could tell you a thing or two. And I used to drive him around and people would go, what are you doing? I used to like driving him because he'd tell me his life story over and over again, but I could glean things from him because he's been there, done it, bought the t-shirt, he's seen fashion go around 3 times. I've seen it go around 2 times now, so I must be getting on a bit. You know, so it's just that way it goes. But do you want to learn from people's experience or do you want to learn from your own experience? That's the difference we've got. Now, sometimes you've got to learn things through your own experience, that's true. But it's a lot easier to learn from other people. But the problem is that we don't want to learn from other people. And I'm talking to everybody, not just young people, because we're all, at heart, idiots. And it's called pride. When you want to do something and someone says, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, I know better. Well, no, I'm a brain surgeon. You don't do that, says the doctor, not me. But sometimes you've got to learn. Some people, when they're corrected, they become angry. They storm around, they get really annoyed. Some people, they get corrected, and I'm not saying, I know it's frustrating. You're stuck in traffic. You want to put your foot down. You want to go for it. And you start to pull out to overtake, and there's those words, they're coming fast. Get on over, coming fast, but I need to get around them. You just want to go. That's Jo sometimes. She's my health and safety officer in the car. She is. And I need her sometimes. I don't know how Ruth gets in car with Phil myself, but that's a different story altogether. He's been a driver all his life. He's done well. In 1 Peter 5:6 it says this, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, and in due time he will lift you up in due time. Often arrogance and pride will keep you low and down. Humbling yourself and saying to people, I need help, actually gets you out of a mess. Humbling ourselves before God, he will raise us up in due time. So what makes the book of Proverbs really valuable? Instead of wasting all our time, the bit we've got on this earth, we ought to read the Bible, check out what other people are saying, get good counsel and wisdom from people. There's some people in this church, and I don't want to embarrass them, but there's some people like Mary, she doesn't say much, But when she does, it's worth listening to. Especially when she says, "Do you want a cup of tea?" No, but seriously, there's sometimes she don't say much normally. Just, and there's other people. I don't mean to just. There's others I can say that to. But they don't say much, but when they do, it's like, oh. And there's other people that just waffle on for ages, like the preacher. Yeah, they should be good stuff. It should help you. But there are people, and it's worth listening to. But the book of Proverbs is a book that you can dig into. You can find wisdom for yourself. There's subjects in there that cover everything. They cover how you should, you know, your married life, your work life, you know, what you should do in your home. It covers, you know, whether you're lazy or not. It tells you whether you are wise or are not wise. It covers all sorts. It warns you against certain things. It tells you not to go down certain paths. It's interesting that when there's a do not, we want to. That just shows we really are idiots on inside. But God's got a better plan for us. He wants us to live in a place where we're just safe with him. You see, the book of Proverbs is not just a book of wisdom. It's a divine inspired book in the Bible. I mean, all the Bible's inspired. But if you want wisdom that's inspired by God, it's a book of Proverbs. It's proven true over generations by righteous people who's lived their life by it. And it expresses ways, and it's expressed in a way that's easy to remember. Proverbs is an easy book to remember different bits of it. And I don't mean the dripping tap bit. There's other bits you can memorize in there that will help you grow and develop. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, but it was written by God himself. It does take a little bit of effort to get the wisdom out of it. Proverbs 2 verses 1 to 6 goes through that. It takes a little while to start digging in, but if you are a person who knows God, who's going after God, through the word and through prayer, God will open up every promise that's in the Bible. And he promises in James that if anyone asks for wisdom, he'll give them wisdom. But we want God to give us wisdom by downloading it to us. And God said, I've given you the Bible, which is full of wisdom. You see, you don't need a professor or super nanny to tell you how to bring your kids up when the Bible tells you how to bring your kids up. You don't need experts in certain areas when the Bible can tell you what that is. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to people and ask them for great advice. Some people are real experts. When it comes to building in this place, if you want somebody about plastering, then we talk to Dave. If you want to talk about electrics, we talk to Malcolm. If you want to talk about how to mess up tape measures, we just won't go there. If you want to find Stanley knives, anyway. But James is a book that said if you lack wisdom, you should ask for it. And this is a far better way to learn wisdom than just find out for yourself. Guys, as a young Christian, I devoured the book of Proverbs, Revelation and Proverbs. They were my two favorite books at one point. Revelation and Proverbs still are on there. But in the Old Testament, everybody reading the Psalms, I was in Proverbs all the time. I just loved it. But of course, we can't really unpack wisdom without knowing the source of wisdom. And in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, this is Paul writing, he says, it's my goal is this, that they, or we, may be encouraged in our hearts and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything we need to know is in Christ. And this is not literally my Bible, but the Bible is the Word of God. And faith comes through hearing and hearing the words of Christ. And Jesus is the Word of God, manifest in physical form. But we've got this Word of God. Now, I'll leave it at that on that one. A couple of thoughts to think about is that I've often heard people say, but yeah, if Jesus was here, we've got his Holy Spirit living inside us. But people often say to me, you know, if Jesus was here, that'd mean different. That'd be something completely different. If you could have Jesus or you could have the Bible, most people say, I want Jesus. But Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's interceding on our behalf. He can't come and sit with you because there's 7 billion people on this planet and there's at least a billion Christians who'd want him. So he sat at the right hand of the Father. But interesting, this is what Peter said, and Peter spent time with Jesus. He says, "We did not follow cunningly devised stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty." So he's saying, I was there. We know he was, but he was an eyewitness. He spent time with Jesus. "For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came down from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" That's when he got baptized and he heard that voice. But he's also talking about another point. He says, "We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven, when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Now, if you read Matthew 17, it's the ascension where Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus and he gets transfigured. So not the ascension, he got transfigured. And he heard the voice saying, "This is my son who I love. In him I am well pleased." And that's when he shone, and there were Moses there and Elijah there. And Peter's telling that story. But then he continues. He says, "We saw that. We've wrote that down. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain." So he's saying, I've got my testimony, but the words of the prophets are more certain, and you would do well to pay attention to it. Now, when he says the words of prophecy, he's talking about the Bible here. He's talking about the word of God, the Bible, that it was being brought together at this point. "And you may do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture," talking about the Bible again, "came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophets were never had its prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along with the Holy Spirit." See, people say, "I need Jesus to speak to me direct," and Jesus goes, "I am. There's my Bible, my word." Peter says, "I was there on the mountain. I heard God's voice. I was there." But we have something even better than being in that testimony point. We have the word of God. And part of the word of God is Proverbs. And Proverbs is a part of the Bible that will slap you. So let me encourage you to read it. Get into it. Study it. Start demolishing it. The problem with Proverbs is it's got little things in there. It tells about drunk people. That's an interesting bit. It talks about the lazy people. It talks about the hard-working people. It talks about the fear of God. And we'll get onto that in a moment, because that's a scary point when you get to the fear of God. There's so much in there. But everything in Proverbs is echoed throughout the rest of the Bible. Everything that's spoke in Proverbs has other verses throughout the Bible. So it's not just one book, it's actually throughout the Bible. And the essence of wisdom is actually Jesus himself. Know him more and more. And you get to know him through the word of God. It's not about just reading Proverbs to learn wisdom, but Proverbs itself will show you Jesus, the source of all our wisdom. So I hope I've not insulted anybody, because if I said anything that's rebuked you, you'll have to love me, won't you? Hey, Mel, stop there. I've just got one line, and I'll get on to this next time. Verse 8 and 9 of Proverbs 1 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland of grace for your head and a chain of adornment round your neck." One of the reasons I love reading Proverbs is because whenever I read the word "my son," now I know it's Solomon writing it to his children, but when it says "my son," I always echo that as Father God speaking to me direct. "My child, do not," and he lists these things, and we'll go through them in the next few weeks. But whenever you read "my son," that includes you ladies, whenever you read "my son" in Proverbs, read it as being God the Father speaking directly, because it just seems to open your eyes up to more. It's not just words on a page. It's almost like, "My child, this is what I want for you. My precious one, this is what I want for you. These are my warnings and these are my blessings." So that's something for you to dig out for yourself later on. Amen. Let me pray for you.